Hi, this is Georgie.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Good evening, everybody. It is 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. We are back on the air. This is the Unused Substitutes for your weekly dose of the Green and Gold Gospel, some Rowdy's Talk Radio. It's been a while. We had a little hurricane there. Some of us left the area, came back. We've all got power. By the way, this is Matt. Dan's running a little bit late, but will be joining us momentarily, I hope. So we've been off for a little while. Like we said, we had the hurricane come through, kind of shut things down for that week. We talked about coming back on last week. We all had power and everything was okay, but a bunch of stuff going on, you know, around homes, cleanups and things like that. So we took the week off to get everything settled, and it's not like there's been a game. There still hasn't been a game since before the hurricane. Not a whole lot to go over as far as new Rowdy's news. We are going to take a look at the current standings and some games going on tonight, and then we're gonna pack this one full of some guests tonight. We've got around 8:15. Derek, the owner from Shamrock in Sarasota, is going to call in. We're going to talk about the bus trip going on this weekend from Sarasota up to the Rowdy's game. Then. We might have another guest calling in shortly thereafter. I'm not 100% sure if she's going to call in or not. This will be interesting. And then I sat down last night with Evan from Brotherly Game, who covers Bethlehem Steel and other Philadelphia Union-related things, and talked about not this weekend's game, which is at home versus Charlotte, but next Wednesday's game, which is the rescheduled game against Bethlehem that was supposed to be played as the last part of the last three-game road trip. It's going to be a 3 p.m. kickoff on Wednesday. So we talked a little bit about the game, what we might expect, who some players keep an eye on, and just a little bit about the Steel in general, their relationship with Philly, how that B-team situation works for them. And then that will probably be it for the evening. So we're working on a couple things here. First up, let's go ahead and take a look at the Eastern Conference standings. Right now, Louisville is in first place with 54 points, and I believe they've clinched a playoff spot. They are playing Rochester right now, and I believe last time I looked, we're up 1-0. Charlotte in second place with 48 points. They're playing Charleston tonight and could clinch a playoff spot with a win. Last time I checked, and I'll peek again here in a few minutes, Charleston was up 1-0 on them. Rochester in fourth place. Like we said, they're playing Louisville City right now with 43 points. 2 points ahead of the Rowdies, who are currently sitting in fifth with 41 points. Cincinnati a few points back, 39 in sixth place. Red Bulls 2 in the seventh spot for now on 38 points. And the Little Kitties of Orlando City B in eighth place, 36 points. the kind of flip side of what most of the season has been so far, where the Rowdies were numerous games ahead of a lot of these other teams. Right now, we are even with Bethlehem, who is, by the way, sitting in ninth place, 35 points, 1 point out of a playoff spot. And we're going to have basically back-to-back games because we're going to play them next Wednesday and then in Bethlehem, and then Saturday afterwards. They're going to turn around and come back down here for the rematch. It's going to be like a like one of these weird like hockey series you see sometimes when teams come through or do a little road swing through Florida, and they do kind of back-to-back weird games like that. So that'll be that, and that'll be our we'll be done with Bethlehem for the year in the regular season. Playoffs, I guess, could be a possibility depending on how they finish. So we've got that to look forward to. But we are right now, like I said, tied with Bethlehem for the fewest games played in the conference. We're at 26. Everyone else in the current top eight is 28 or 27. So we're sitting in fifth right now, but we're, you know, kind of at a decent position. If the Louisville-Rochester result holds up for the rest of the evening, we'd have two games in hand on them and only be 2 points back of them. We're two games currently ahead of Cincinnati and 2 points ahead of them. So looks pretty close because we're kind of wedged in between those two teams, two points back of Rochester, two ahead of Cincinnati. But we've got a little cushion with the games we still have in hand to play. The problem is going to be that these games are going to come pretty quickly. There's six games left in the regular season. And it's going to all start this weekend, which is going to be September 23rd. And then the regular season ends October 12th in Orlando. We've got six games we're going to fit into that time span. So that'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye on. Hopefully they've got some rest these last, I think it's like almost 3 weeks, 17 days, something like that, 3 weeks off between matches. Hopefully some guys have gotten rested up, recovered from any knocks or dings or scratches or dents or injuries or whatever, and then be ready to go on this last little push to try and get back into that top four and seal a home playoff spot at Al Lang. All right, so let's go take a look real quick at some of the current scores, see where we're at right now. Let me refresh this real quick because I don't think it's totally up to date. Let's see. Loading. And waiting and waiting. This is always the fun part of doing live stuff solo is when you just have to wait for information to load. I'm sure I could go check Twitter, but what's the fun in that? Still loading. Here we go. All right. At halftime, Charleston is leading Charlotte by a score of 1-0. 31 minutes in, Louisville is up 1-0 on Rochester. That's it for games tonight that have meaning to us. Over in the Western Conference, Reno is hosting Oklahoma City. I think Reno can clinch a playoff spot with a win tonight. And then the last game of the evening, Seattle 2 is hosting the Phoenix Drogbas at 10:30. Friday is another Western Conference game, so it doesn't really affect us. A couple games this Saturday to keep an eye on besides our match against Charlotte. Richmond is hosting Rochester. Wouldn't mind seeing Richmond take a win there, get a nice home win. It would help us out a little bit too. Kicking off at the same time as us on Saturday at the litter box, Charleston travels down there to face OCB. I mean, Charleston's already far enough ahead, so let's give them a win there, and that would maybe help push Orlando out of the playoff spots. Cincinnati is going to travel to St. Louis. Let me see where St. Louis is in the standing. St. Louis is 11th. They're a little bit further back, but they're only 2 points out of a playoff spot, so they haven't been having the greatest year or the year they thought they were going to have with Preki coming in. But they're still in a fight for it, so that could be a nice little matchup for Cincinnati. Maybe drag them down a little bit. That's it for Saturday games. Sunday, Louisville goes up to Ottawa. Ottawa's almost dead man walking at this point. They're at 32 points. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot. They've lost in the, out of their last five games. They've lost one and drawn four in a row now. Things are not going the way they wanted to, but I don't think they're really surprising anyone. They've got a real chance of being overtaken by Harrisburg at this point. Harrisburg's 1 point back, but Ottawa's played two fewer games, so we'll wait and see what happens there, but could be a possibility. Other games going on this weekend for us to keep an eye on. Also on Sunday, Bethlehem Steel is going to host Pittsburgh. Steel, like we said, they are the one team out right now. Pittsburgh's only they're in 10th place, also with 35 points. The difference there being Bethlehem's got two more wins and also has a +3 goal difference on them. Hopefully Bethlehem won't be going into won't be coming out of that game with more points and a nicer goal differential before they come in before we play them two games in a row. But we will wait and see what happens there. And then let's see, more games before we do our next show. I think that's, I'm not showing any Monday Tuesday games for the week after just yet, but it's possible. Also being Wednesday, the USL's discipline report has come out. Nothing too surprising on there right now. Keith Savage is still on the list as being one yellow away from a suspension, just because he hasn't gotten in a game in forever. I'm kind of curious, just off the top of my head. I don't know the number, but what's the longest someone's been on the USL discipline report as you know, being one card away without having picked up that card? Keith might be going for a new record there. Georgi Ristov is now also one game away from his 8th yellow card, which would be another one game suspension and an undisclosed fine. So we'll wait and see what happens there. It would be nice if he could not pick one up for a little while, but given past performance, that's not always the safest bet. So we'll keep checking in on those games in a few minutes. Charleston and Charlotte have gone to the second half. They're about 48 minutes in. I was trying to get our Rowdy's expatriate, Adam Martin, to come in tonight. He's, you guys don't know him. He's one of the, I don't know if he's an original mobster, but he's from way back when, the early days of FC Tampa Bay, now lives in Charlotte, and has been going to Independence games. So I was going to try and get a scoop from him about what to watch for. I mean, we've played in Charlotte once already, but to hear what's going on with the team lately, the, what's kind of maybe been behind their really good run the last few weeks would be good to know. But he's working tonight, couldn't do it, couldn't get him on. Hopefully we'll get him sometime in the future. But we will have, like I mentioned at the top of the show, Evan from Brotherly Game joining us. And it's kind of a funny story about that. He does a podcast with a couple other guys called Eastern Conference Confidential, and it's on the Beautiful Game Network like we are. I managed to get the mention in there. These guys will be happy. And we've tried to, him and I have tried to record a show for them two, maybe three times. The first time the audio didn't work on his end, wasn't able to use it. Second time, the audio on my end didn't work. I think at one point one of our computers froze or something. So we went in, we got together last night and did it. And I mean, like, we literally sat there waiting until the audio was processed and saved and went back and listened to it. We meant to talk for about 10, 15 minutes or so, but it ended up going for about 30. And I think that's probably where we'll go to that after we talk to Derek from Shamrock, who should be calling in momentarily. I missed a chance to get down there the last two U.S. games that were last night and then Sundays, and been a bunch of work to do getting back from the storm, getting into getting stuff for work ready and all that kind of good stuff. So, but I will be on the bus this weekend from there and talking to them tonight. While we're waiting for him to join us, we'll take a look. It's not a USL game, but Atlanta United is playing tonight, and they've been probably the hottest team in all of American soccer at the moment. Halftime against LA, they're up 4-0. Jermaine Jones has already been sent off for the LA Galaxy. And the quote I just saw, the tweet I just saw, I like this, 42,723 announced attendance in the Stankonia Dome, the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that they packed like 70,000 something in there over the weekend for their debut game there. They could be going to another, you know, 7-8 goal win, like the seven spot they put up on New England over the weekend. So that's a fun team to watch right now. And we're kind of partial to them. We saw what they did with USF soccer. I think we've got Derek here. I'm going to mute you here for a second, Derek, and then I'll bring you on. Derek is a guy I've gotten to know pretty well over, I guess, 2-3 years now. Owns and runs the Shamrock Pub in downtown Sarasota, the best little soccer bar in Sarasota. Does some of the outlaw stuff with us. Rowdy season ticket holder, has about 4 or 5 seats. We've got an event coming up this weekend. Hey, Derek, are you there?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I just got home with the kids and settling into the evening and looking forward to this conversation.
All right, so we've been trying to get this going for like a week or two now, and between hurricanes and everything else, like, it just hasn't worked out.
Right.
But I was glad to get you on tonight because you've got something coming on this weekend. First of all, I haven't gotten down there. I missed the last two U.S. women's games, but I haven't been down there since the Armageddon happened. Shamrock came through okay?
Shamrock fared well. We kept powering out the storm. We did close for Saturday and Sunday. We opened up for Premier League Saturday morning, and then shortly after that 10 a.m. game, we just decided to wrap it up. It was kind of a ghost town, downtown Sarasota. Everybody was in preparation mode, so we locked the doors, they closed, and then reopened Monday at noon, and we were one of the only places open on Monday.
That's I was trying to come back on Monday. I was over at my parents' place on the other side of the state, and by that time I'd already been there for about a day and a half, 2 days, and two things I needed was to get out of there and have a cold beer, but I didn't get back till Tuesday. So tell us a little bit what's going on this weekend. What have you put together for the Sarasota Bradenton fans for the Rowdies game?
Yeah, well, it's pretty simple. I rented a 55-seat bus. The Shamrock's done several road trips. I've helped organize the road trips for American Outlaws. So I reached out to my bus company, and I'm in a bus because I want to bring people to the Rowdies game. I want to bring people to the Rowdies match, rather, to the Rowdies match as they were then. As you know, coming to the away game, watch parties, and that kind of thing at the pub, there's a lot of regulars and neighborhood people that see all these passionate soccer fans come and go, and I want them to get a taste of it. I want them to get up there and experience that atmosphere and see the match and see that beautiful field that they've got and make it easy. So really, the only caveat is that they have to buy their own ticket. So if they wanted to buy a general admission, that's fine. You got to sit on the bus. You want to sit at half field and one from the third row. Spend your money and do that. That's fine, too. We just wanted to get everybody together to kind of build on our soccer community and enjoy the camaraderie of, being with the other fans and get up and support our Rowdies. It's really, that's pretty much the simplest thing, is just getting people together and going up there, mixing up the season ticket holders with the people that go to a couple matches a year and the people that have never been. We've converted some fans already. We've gotten some people up there for matches, and they came back with jerseys, and they're looking forward to the next one. So I'm hoping that we can get a few more people turned into Rowdy fans this weekend.
Nice, sounds good. I usually go up a little bit early and do a little scouting around the stadium, talk to people, see what's going on, but. I'm never going to pass up anything that's free and involves me not driving. So I'm coming down there. I'm coming down around 12:30 to watch Liverpool's playing somebody. I forget who it is, but I'm going to come watch that game and then hang out till the bus.
Cool.
The bus is leaving at like 4, right?
Yeah, Yeah, we're leaving at 4. We're going to head up there. We've got a couple beer sponsors that are, you know, throwing some beers for, you know, our patrons that are going up. When we get there, we're going to set up a couple street goals, tiny soccer goals, a little ball. We can kick it around, have a little fun. We're going to grill off a bunch of hot dogs and hang out and do the tailgate thing in the parking lot of LA. All right. We're also going to stick around for the Saggy concert afterwards. It just got even better when they announced Saggy was going to be there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I was thinking about it last night. I knew that had been announced after you made your bus plans. I didn't know if that was still going to happen or not. So you read my mind there. All right. So yeah, you're putting your money where the mouth is. You're fronting the bus, free seats if you want to go.
Yeah.
You're doing scary. The tailgate. Yeah, it's a little scary.
Yep.
I bet you're doing the tailgate. So free, you got a free ride to and from the game. You've got free food and drinks when you're there. All you got to do is buy the ticket, and you're even offering discount tickets. You've got a promo code for it, right?
Yeah. The promo code is SHAM17. SHAM17. Patrick's Day is the 17th of March. SHAM17, and there's a link if you. If you go to our Facebook page, Shamrock Pub on Facebook, and we've got a post, and there's actually a link there. You can click on it. It'll take you right, if you have trouble with the ticket code, you go to that link, and it'll be really easy. And we've got about, we're filling up. We've got probably 15 or so seats left, maybe less by the time this thing hits the air, it's filling up. So we've got 55 feet bus. We're going to take 50 people max, and we're at about 35 right now.
Very cool. Well, I've done bus trips with Shamrock before. We went to the She Believes Cup against Brazil over in Orlando. That was a fantastic time. I know from past experiences that the tailgates that go on when our group gets together have been rather fun. The food's great. The beer's great. It's definitely a great time. If you're thinking about it, if you're down here in Sarasota, Bradenton, or, I've even got some friends down in Cape Coral that have tickets and just don't get the chance to get up to St. Pete that often. I'm trying to tell them all you got to do is go about halfway and then we'll drive you the rest. We'll get them up there. This is going to be a fun time. I'm looking forward to it. It hasn't been a game in like 3 weeks and, I'm excited.
Oh, we're starving.
I can't
wait. Yeah, we're starving to get to a match. It's been too long.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Anything else you want to throw out there about it?
No, we just, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. Good, clean fun. And if anybody, that's it. Just, all you need is a ticket. We're real easy to. To get around that thing and join us and meet like-minded people and just have a good time and go chill on the bodies.
All right, and for people who maybe haven't been down to the pub or looking for you, where can they find you in Sarasota and where can they find you online? Pimp yourself real quick.
Yeah, great, thank you. Shamrock Pub, downtown Sarasota. It's downtown neighborhood pub. We're an original Sarasota pub. That pub has been there for at least 40 years. We've got a St. Patrick's Day party that is probably the largest one in the county every March 17th, and so we're known for that. We're American Outlaw headquarters for Sarasota and Bradenton, and we show all the Premier League games, Bundesliga, La Liga, Liga MX, you name it, MLS, USL. Of course, all the away rowdies games, do a watch party for. We got 20 taps. We're a beer and wine pub. Another slogan is Pub for the People. That's been one that, that we've used over the years. I've owned it for about 10 years. We've got the coldest air conditioning in town, so we can pack 100 people in the bar and keep it comfortable while we're watching our World Cup next summer. And, encourage everybody to come down and say hi. We've got, a very friendly staff, knowledgeable staff on beer and the game. And, just encourage people that are curious to come in and say hi.
All right. Well, I will. Thanks for coming on. Go ahead.
ShamrockSodaSoda.com is our website.
There you go. Almost forgot that. All right. Well, thanks for coming on. Yeah. I will see you this weekend, and I look forward to riding the bus.
Matt, thanks so much.
No problem. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right. See ya. All right, that was Derek from Shamrock. Again, go find him on Facebook. He's got an event page made up for it. If you're in Sarasota, Bradenton, I don't know, Northport, Venice, whatever else is down here, this is your best chance to go to the game. Like I said, free bus. He's paying for it. Free tailgate, free food, free beers. He's got that covered too. Get you to and from the game. And the bus is going to leave from Shamrock at 4:00. We'll put the info back out there again. And in case you're wondering, he's not kidding around where he says, you know, good, clean fun. Like it's your typical soccer game crew. But it's definitely family friendly. We've brought kids before on trips when we've gone to the US games and, for stuff like that. So, you know, that's not something that, should stop you from hopping on the bus if you want to. But go ahead and get your ticket from him if you don't have one and get on there. And hopefully I'll see some of you guys on Saturday. Give me a shout at the bar if you're going to be there. Real quick, we're going to go and update the scores from the games right now. Charleston still leading Charlotte 1-0 in 62nd minute. Rochester equalized just before halftime against Louisville, so it's 1-1 going into the break there. And we'll keep an eye on those. Next up, I don't know if our other guest is going to be calling in or not. I'm going to go ahead and throw on the interview I did last night with Evan from Brotherly Game. He's going to talk about Bethlehem, about the matchup this weekend against the Rowdies a little bit. I think we talk a little bit about some of the shared connections between some of the teams. There's some players there, not necessarily with Bethlehem, but with Philadelphia that we know, Fafa Pakalt's up there, Oguchi and Yewu, who we saw at the MLS to St. Pete kickoff, is up there playing as well. Dan just joined in.
I'm here. Hello.
You're here. I was just getting ready to throw it to Evan. But we just had Derek just got on from Shamrock. We finally got that going. So that was cool. And I was going to throw it to Evan real quick. So, but before I do, what's up with you? How's it going?
Oh, it's been a busy
like 3 weeks, 2 weeks since we did a show?
2 weeks?
We didn't do last week, and then...
No, we did it the week before,
It just feels like forever.
Yeah, but I'm here, so get on the bus from Shamrock if you're in the area and go to the game, and let's hear what Evan has to say.
Real quick, I threw it out there on Twitter just because I know some people were probably wondering. I don't know if you saw it, but I said, you know, we before anyone got too excited, we already run our mouths about one subject that we don't know crap about once a week, and that's soccer. If people are tuning in for any nuanced legal opinions about any legal matters that may be going on, I don't know. The elephant in the room is the NASL suit against the U.S. Soccer Federation. I haven't sat down and read through the whole thing, and even if I did, I'm not a lawyer, so I couldn't tell you what sounds valid or not. But interesting times.
Yeah, it is a bit crazy. I haven't read it either. One, because, like you said, I'm not a lawyer and I know nothing. Two, I mean... From the little bits in here and there that I've seen, it seems like a disaster. And I feel like a lot of the points Cardick had a great article. I think we retweeted and it's been circulating on what is it? World Soccer Talk,
yeah.
I think is the site. And that sums up everything I feel, that it makes good points. But like you and I have mentioned in, you know, our conversations it's being hailed as like this huge thing and it might break up MLS and blah, blah, blah. But it's not going to give pro rel like people are hoping. I mean, NASL didn't mention pro rel. They're just pissed off because of the lack of money coming in. It's all about money and sanctioning.
Yeah.
So it's not this, like, it's not going to, I don't think it'll give that sect of American soccer fan. I think most of us are on the pro rel train. but this isn't the magic bullet to get us there. And it might do more harm for soccer in this country than good. But we'll see how this plays out.
All right, real quick before I go to Evan, one more thing. I'm just looking at it. Nipun, who we both are at least Twitter familiar with. Have you met him? I know Daisha's met him.
I have not actually met him yet.
I couldn't remember. Just retweeted a video from Puerto Rico. Like, Puerto Rico's stadium is destroyed.
My heart goes out to everybody affected by Irma, Harvey, and now Maria as well. And then these earthquakes.
Yeah.
I mean,
God.
Mother Earth is pissed off.
Yeah. She's mad because NASL didn't get D2 sanctioned.
I was going to say NASL is going to try to sue Maria for taking out Puerto Rico Stadium.
As long as it doesn't come here. But yeah, it looks. I was watching a webcam from St. Croix. It was running live yesterday, and you could even like go back 6 or 7 hours in the video and watch it just coming towards St. Croix. The skies are getting darker. The waves start crashing in, and then. It goes dark, and that's when not dark from the storm, but dark from just basically, you know, the sun going down, and that's when it gets really, really creepy. All right, I'm going to throw this out here to Evan. We talked for about 30 minutes or so, about twice, almost three times as long as we planned on, but he's a cool guy, and it was fun to talk to him. So here it goes. All right, everyone. We are here. We're doing a whole little guest full episode tonight with because no one wants to listen to us just talking for a bunch because that's terrible. Oh. But we've got we're gonna try this. We've tried this what now 3 or 4 times. We got it to work, I think, once.
I don't want to talk about it, my friend.
joining us right now is Evan from the Brotherly Game. Evan, first off, before we start talking about your team, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do. Your angle on this whole thing.
So officially, my title is the USL editor at Brotherly Game. And what that entails, before everyone goes, wait, isn't that a Philadelphia Union blog? Well, Bethlehem Steel popped up. Last year was our first year, and I've been covering them since the inaugural year, and even before that for the logo reveal, which, not to sound cocky, but I was the only person that was there that still covers the team. Just throwing that out there. I'm a little bitter about it. and I also, we have a guy, Chris Bratton, who covers the Harrisburg City Islanders, that I, you know, poke occasionally to write articles about the old guard shield and things like that. So, and then from there I started a podcast with Phil Groom, so I lovingly call the waviest man in the St. Louis metropolitan area, and the USL stats department Ryan Allen, called Eastern Conference Confidential, that is on the same lovely, beautiful network of podcasts that you guys are on. So
very nice.
Yeah, that's about it. That's my whole plug.
All right, so Brotherly Game, because I'm aware of the name, but you know, I don't follow a ton of Pennsylvania soccer, so I haven't gone to it. So it covers kind of everything in Pennsylvania, Philly, Bethlehem, Harrisburg,
so
all that?
We have a guy who I love to plug whenever I can because I think he's just incredibly smart, and it actually scares me sometimes how much he knows. Matt Ralph, who does all of the academy stuff for the Union as well as a lot of the local college scene. And then from there you have me and Chris who do USL, and there's a bunch of guys, Eugene, John, Nick, Matt does some Union stuff, Colin, a bunch of guys, Jordan, that do Union stuff. So it's pretty much, you know, it's Union centric. It's an SB Nation site, so it's Philadelphia Union based, you know. But we get out and cover the greater Philadelphia region as well.
Okay, so Rowdies are finally going to be playing Bethlehem next Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They got that Toronto time slot. It's a what, two games in like 4 days or something like that, because Rowdies come up there on Wednesday, and then you guys come down here on Saturday.
We play the Hounds this weekend, and then we have you guys in a bit of a home and home, kind of a FA Cup ish fixture, if you will.
That's a good way to look at it, because I've been complaining for years ever since the Rowdies won the NASL Soccer Bowl back in 2012.
That was
a double legged final. Hopefully, I don't get sued for saying NASL or something.
Yeah, I don't know who.
I know they're out there doing things.
Okay.
And I've always been thinking that, like, I get having, you know, single leg, maybe, you know, knockout for the playoffs, but I always thought, you know, by the time you get to the final, that would be kind of cool to have that as a double leg thing. Just, you know, if nothing else, it rewards both sets of fans for supporting the teams throughout the year, throughout that playoff. You're adding in extra games, usually sometimes on weird days and times. And I think that'd be kind of cool. I'd like to see, I mean, I'd like to see USL. I'd like to see anybody do it, but no one ever takes my advice, which is probably a good thing.
I agree. I think it's odd that MLS does it, not to tangent this really hard, but that seems to be a thing that I do when I'm on these podcasts.
That's what we're all about.
That MLS does that for every leg pretty much that's not the final. I always thought that was kind of bizarre, but, you know,
yeah,
is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I also kind of like it because we came into the second leg down 2 goals and managed to come back and win on penalties despite being down to 10 men. So we wouldn't have won a trophy without it. So
nostalgia and some positive some positive connotations there.
I like the way that worked. I think they should do that again. So anyway, now the only we're kind of in a different setup as the Rowdies are an independent team.
Yes.
Bethlehem, like you mentioned, is a it's not an affiliate, but it's one of the it's one of the B teams, but they're not named.
I like to say that us and Swope Park did it right. We are the MLS 2 team that does not feel like an MLS 2 team because we're not in the same market, basically, and we are not named 2.
Right. And I think what Sounders 2 is going to change. They're going to go to Tacoma, and they're going to. Yeah, I feel like I think it gives the local fans at least something more to latch onto than something B or something two or you know.
Yep, and it feels a little more professional, you know, especially the two. I just have a really weird. It just feels dirty, you know, because it's like, oh, these are the, you know, these are the guys that are never going to make it. B at least is just kind of odd and doesn't sound like it's supposed to be there. Pardon the pun, but I think they did it right for sure. You know, they took a name that's historic in American soccer, if anyone's familiar.
Right.
Bethlehem Steel, you know, the winningest North American franchise as far as Open Cups go, and was kind of a staple there in the Lehigh Valley. And so they kind of took the name and a little bit of the history because the Union were using it anyway. And now we're here.
All right. What's the setup like? Does the Bethlehem, like, do they practice with Philadelphia? Are there any kind, you know, how much is kind of a crossover is there between the two clubs? How much like what's the relationship? Like, first of all, what's the difference? I mean, I'm trying to think of the way to say this, like the distance between the two areas. Like how close is Bethlehem to Philly?
So from Chester, which is where the Union play, to the actual, like, Lehigh Valley in Bethlehem itself, or Bethlehem, as Kyle Kepner likes to point out that I say wrong, is about an hour and a half-ish.
Okay.
From Chester to where Steel train more often than not, if they're not actually with the first team, is about half an hour. But a lot of times, more often than not, we do practice on site with the first team in Chester at the training facility that's attached to the stadium.
All right, so there is some kind of a crossover between the two
teams. Oh yeah, a ton of moving parts every week.
Very cool. So I'm looking at, I've got the standings open in front of me right now. Bethlehem, as of today, and this is Tuesday evening, we're recording this because you weren't available tomorrow night. We wanted to make sure we got you on sometime this season. Bethlehem's currently sitting in ninth place, but like one point out of the playoff spots behind the team who shall not be named B. We don't like to talk about them that much.
I don't either. It's okay. I've always, if I may, and this will win you guys over, but I actually feel this way too. I think Orlando City, top to bottom, is the dirtiest organization in the country.
Okay, so it's not just us then. Okay.
No, I really believe it, and every time I'm like, maybe I'm just thinking it, and then I see them play, either the Union or Bethlehem, and I'm like, they just don't. It just doesn't feel right. So there you go.
So you kind of, you know, right now on the outside looking in, but not too far out, you could still make a move and get back into that top eight and get into the playoff spots. And I'm kind of looking at it, and I'm going to be kind of biased and say first through fifth seem pretty safe right now, although we're only 2 points ahead of Cincinnati, who's in sixth, and only 3 points ahead of Red Bull 2 in seventh. But it looks like that sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth, tenth, 11th are really there's going to be some action going on there for the playoffs. How do you see this playing out? Where do you think Bethlehem's going to finish at the regular season?
So it's funny. I know you guys weren't here in the USL last year, but we were in fact pretty much in the same place this time of year as we were last year as we are right now, with the same team that we don't name that wears purple. Now, the problem that we had last year was we literally, and I'm not joking, you can look this up, did not win, and I don't think a lot of times we got a point even for like the last month and a half-ish of the season. It's very hard to make the final spot in the playoffs, or any spot in the playoff, really, if you don't get points.
It's funny how that works.
And that's a huge secret, you know, that no one really knows. So if we could just not talk about that, that'd be great.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
It's just between the two of us. This year I'm a little more optimistic just because I think on our day, this is a definite playoff team. I think Coach Burke does a great job. I think the team itself is built better. And I think the amount of talent we have top bottom is higher in Bethlehem and then across the league as well, which only helps us, really.
And it doesn't hurt that out of those six spots and raids, you know, I'm listing Cincinnati, Red Bull 2, you guys, Pittsburgh and St. Louis,
yeah.
You guys have played two fewer games than all the rest of them. They're all on 28. You guys are on 26. So
and
probably the best chance of sneaking in there.
Yeah. And just because I like to point it out whenever I can, we took the season series against Red Bull 2, last year's USL season champs. And Matt, I know this is going to sound weird. We took the season series against U.S. Open Cup darlings, FC Cincinnati.
Yeah, I thought that was, I can remember if it was you guys or Pittsburgh, but two wins early in the season against them, right?
Two wins and a loss away. But we beat them twice in our park, and I still don't know how that happened. And to be fair, neither could Coach Koch for Cincinnati after I talked to him twice and said, how did this happen? Paraphrasing. I don't know how it happened, and neither did anybody else, but it happened. So that'll be interesting to look at the end of the season if we make it, and perhaps the orange and blue do not.
It'll be interesting because they put a lot of their eggs in one basket on that Open Cup run,
yes.
and now it's – and this is, you know, we talked about it on our show. I respect the Open Cup. I enjoy the games. I'd love to win it sometime. If we crash out in the first two or three rounds, I'm not super bothered by it because, to me, the league is always going to be my first priority.
Sure.
Getting into
and for them, especially if you look at what happened in their playoff run or lack thereof last year, seeding is just as important this year.
Yeah, this is what scares me right now because we're sitting in fifth and not
right.
in a home playoff game, and
right.
we are terrible away from home. So.
I wasn't going to talk about it, but since
that's
you brought
all we
it
talk
up,
about. It's all we talk
if
about.
If you guys were any better away, literally any better away, you'd be number one, like easily.
I mean, we've won two games,
right?
And
right.
both of them were come from behind against Toronto.
Not great.
Yeah, they scored one early, and then we scored three or four in like a span of 5 minutes. And then the second one was Harrisburg, and that was a come from
behind. Yeah, that was really goofy.
Yeah, we're terrible, and it's been this way for you. It doesn't matter who the coach is. It doesn't matter who the players are. We're terrible away. We're terrible on artificial turf. I don't know what it, and I have no idea what it is, but it's been our curse for years.
Well, the good news is at least we play on grass.
No, oh, we'll take that then.
The bad news is it's still away.
It's still
away. We'll find out, I guess.
All right.
You guys been in kind of a
bad stretch lately. I'm looking to see three straight losses and then two straight draws. And you
yeah.
guys haven't drawn that many games this year. You've only had five draws total, two in
Correct.
The last five games. So what's it's either you know win or lose. What's the mentality of the team right now? Are they still they're still, you know, like you said, one point out of a playoff contention. Are they hanging in there, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't happy at all, and I don't, you know, neither was anybody else in the club for sure with how August panned out. I think getting that draw against Louisville and being up for the majority of that match actually mm-hmm. was big for us. Definitely in terms of it's a point on the road against a team that's above us, which, you know, never hurts.
Right.
And then, you know, it's, hey, we can play these playoff teams and we can get results against them. If we can just apply that, you know, against you guys twice and then Pittsburgh, which, you know, Mike, I love you, but I'm comfortable with that result getting a win there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, it's Toronto FC 2 and St. Louis, which I'm not exactly, you know, weak at the knees looking at those, and Rochester's there as well, which will be an interesting one.
Yeah, I feel the same way as long as we were playing him at home.
Right, right. So, you know, we'll see. But I think, you know, those last two results, the draw against whatever team that is that plays in your state, and then the Louisville guys was great. But we'll have to see if we can, you know, apply that and have these veterans that we have in the side kind of coax these guys into a playoff spot.
All right, so you mentioned it, and I was just about to go there with the next question.
It's like I'm good at segues.
I know, right?
Almost.
I'm looking at the roster, almost. And there's some familiar names on there. I'm seeing Keegan Rosenberry. I'm seeing Maurice Adu. I've seen Derek Jones, who we got to see him play yes. earlier in the preseason when they were down here for the MLS training. So is this roster current? Are guys like Maurice Adu and Derek Jones featuring for Bethlehem right now, or are they kind of moving back and forth between there and Philly? What's their status?
So there's a lot of back and forth. I will say that guys that you might want to look out for from the first team, Marcus Epps,
mm-hmm.
his looked pretty impressive in both USL and the MLS with the parent club. Adam Niem is really fun to watch, and that's, I think, from just a soccer perspective. He can hit a ball wherever he wants, pretty much. Who else? Derek Jones, yeah, on again, off again. And, I mean, you guys saw him in the preseason with the first team. He is a specimen.
Yeah, I think he scored.
And then guys like Austin Trusty, who was with the U-20s, mm-hmm. who put on a pretty good show, and he's looked pretty good. Josh Yarrow, who can be dangerous when he's not making stupid fouls, as a pretty crafty, pacey center back. And then guys like Matt Real and Jake McGuire. Actually, Matt's a USL guy, but Jake McGuire as well from the first team, who actually is now the all-time saves leader for Bethlehem Steel, which is both a commendment to him. I like Jake. He's a good guy. He's like one of the last of a dying breed because he was in the Chivas USA Academy.
Oh, wow.
See, that's still going on, right? That's my fun fact about Jake McGuire. But it's a commitment for him. I think he's a great goalkeeper, and it's also a knock on how bad our keeping was last year.
Yeah, you guys have four keepers on the roster, so they were looking to shore it up this year or just had a couple more prospects?
We added Hugh Roberts from Richmond, mm-hmm. who is a USL Defender of the Year from last year and is the veteran of the back line at 24. Which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then we have Aaron Jones as the starting right back, who replaced the guy you might be familiar with named Ryan Richter.
Yep.
Good guy. He moved on, went back to the Cosmos, which, yep. And Jones, he's been there and he's looked great. And then from there, Corey Burke has really come into his own. He made two or three appearances for the Jamaican men's national team, over the summer.
Right.
Well, sorry.
At the Gold Cup.
Towards the end of the season last year, and then cemented himself as kind of a mainstay for the Gold Cup mm-hmm. with him and Andre Blake. And Burke has been explosive. All-time leading scorer with Steel now with 10, I think. Something like that. Wow. And then Sekou Kone, also a guy to look out for. So it's a good mix of speedy guys. I forgot to mention Chris Nanko, which will be a mistake, who's also incredibly fast and deceptively strong on the ball. He made Red Bull 2 look terrible at Goodman. And then Santi Moore as well has been becoming quite the opportunistic goal scorer as of late. So there's a lot of guys to look out for. The short answer to your question, I think it's just a better put together team with guys that are there to do a job and go home.
Okay. All right. And since
I completely, and he'll kill me, I forgot to mention the captain, James Chambers, who is a very passionate Irishman who had spent, I can't call him angry. So the joke with that one is that after the fifth or sixth game last year, they were like, oh, talk to James. He's a great interview, which is true. He is. So at the time he led the USL in yellow cards. And I went, oh, you know, are you struggling to adapt to the league because he'd only play in Ireland up to this point? Or, you know, are you just kind of, you know, getting, you know, stuck in your tackles and getting kind of, angry? And he goes, well, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm an angry man. And shot me a look, and I thought he was going to kill me in the parking lot. Luckily, he did not, and I'm here. But James is a consummate professional. He's a guy that can walk all these kids through a game because, you know, 23, 24-year-olds aren't the most composed in the world. I would know. I am one.
Right.
And then he's got magic in his feet. He can hit any pass he wants, and he can bang a free kick. So
I'd be remiss if I didn't bring him up. It could be kind of fun to watch him and our Northern Irishman, Martin Patterson.
Yes, I'm sure they're not they come across unfamiliar. Each other. I believe the Irish soccer community is quite tiny. I have been known to ask James Chambers for scouting advice on some guys that have played in Ireland, and he will at least know of everybody.
Right.
So, I'm sure he's aware of Martin.
That should maybe. Be interesting. Now, this
if
is,
Martin's a Rangers fan, they might not get on too well, though, just as a heads up.
I'm true. That's a possibility.
Okay,
that could be a possibility. Enough. I don't know for sure, but I've had some similar experiences with Martin. After he scored his first league goal, we were talking to him after the game, and he was talking about how the cross was sent into him by one player, and he didn't name the correct player, and none of us wanted to correct him.
Yeah,
because
just kinda
he
let
just
him go.
Kind of has the look. Yeah, like whatever you say, Martin. Yep. I gave you the ball. That's fine. I'll take it.
I'm not going to argue.
Yep.
Delightful people to talk to. Just got to let them have their space.
Yeah, definitely. and now I got to ask, because I'm a Liverpool fan on the side. How is Wijnaldum's brother been doing? How's he been looking?
I love Gilly. Gilly is actually now the number one for the Union.
Wow.
And it's funny because he came in and I was like, wow, that's, you know, Georgina Wijnaldum's brother. That's kind of cool. Another Ernie Stewart connection. We have a couple of those. It's pretty much, you know, a lot of promising young guys. Sekou Kone, another example, was in FC20's academy, or 20, the horse badge, in the Netherlands, right. And then played for FC Oss in the second division, and we got him. But Giuliano did not impress me in the first month or two of the season, just kind of looked lost and unenthused, and then figured it out and became the starting right back for the Union and has looked pretty good there. Sorry, starting left back.
Nice.
And has looked pretty good. Yeah, he took the position from Fabinho, who's like 33 now and isn't, you know, having the best days of his career in front of him.
Right.
But regardless, he's looked great. I highly doubt you'll see him, but there's an off chance.
All right. Last thing, and we'll wrap it up.
Yep.
Predictions. What do you think is going to be the result?
I'm okay with a point here. I would much rather three. I don't know how your back line deals with the nice combination of hold-up play and pacey wingers, but if the answer is badly, then you might be in for a rough time of things. I'd like to, you know, give you a better idea as to who to expect, but that's, Brendan Burke, the head coach of the team, isn't really privy on those things or doesn't talk about them until, you know, pretty much the day of the game. So I don't know anything myself. Hart says 3-1 us in a really weird, surprising victory, but we've gotten those before. High FC Cincinnati. But my head says it's a 2-2 draw. Anytime I can talk about it, man, I'm going to.
I don't blame you one bit. All right, I'll throw mine in too. So this game was originally scheduled as part of a 3-game road swing before Armageddon made its way through here and sent us all home for the week. And my prediction for that road trip was a win, a draw, and a loss. And we got the loss at New York. We got the win
draw
at Harrisburg.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna stick with my original prediction, and I'm gonna peg this as a 2-2 draw also.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And hope I'm wrong, but. It's a weird day. It's not necessarily a weird day because we played Wednesday games, but a weird time.
It's a weird time. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a swamp here, so that's nice. I don't think there's any real like elevation or kind of weather advantages.
Right.
It's a bit of a longer pitch, like wider. It's I forget what the Union play on, but it's big. So we'll see. I don't know. I think 2-2 is probably a safe bet.
I'll have to look it up and see how it compares to ours. This is always the other funny thing I like to joke about is, so our pitch size, what we've yes. managed to fit into an actual minor league baseball stadium, is exactly in the middle of FIFA regulations.
Okay.
It's the same size. Same size pitch as Columbus has. It's bigger than what New York City FC fits into an actual major league baseball stadium.
The basement that I'm sitting in right now is bigger than their pitch. I know for a fact we err on the larger side.
Right.
We're not like at the max or anything, but I think, you know, if you guys are halfway, we're a little bit bigger than that. So a little bit more running for you guys perhaps, but we'll see.
Well, with some of the guys we've brought in lately, they've seemed to gone more to the speedy winger kind of guys. When we brought in guys like Guinzotti and we had Leo. Leo's still out injured, but Restrepo came in. And Alex Morel has been a really fast guy as well.
I love him.
Oh God, he is. He's the nicest guy in the world. He came up to me one day in the parking lot, and I still don't think that any of these guys recognize me on sight. But he's like, hey, he'd been on the show earlier in the year, and he was like, hey, I'll come on anytime, man. That was really cool.
Like, so it's funny you mentioned about the guys not recognizing you on site. I think I'm kind of there with some of the guys, but I don't want to say anything about it because then I feel like I'll jinx it and they'll completely forget who I am and I'll fade in obscurity.
Yeah, my two like encounters that make me think that it's you know, that maybe they do recognize me is I'm walking out of the stadium one night. And I'm heading over to my car, and I hear, hey, hey. And I look over, and there's Joe Cole eating, like, in street clothes with his family around him.
Yeah.
Eating, there's a place near a stadium, I forget what the name of it is, but he gets chicken and, like, chicken and rice from there all the time after the games. Okay. And he's like, hey, see you next time. And I was like, oh, all right. Okay, cool. And then last year at the... After the end of the regular season, and you know, we didn't make the playoffs, and it was kind of a bummer, and everything else. The day after the last regular season game, I go out to it's because it's, you know, it's around Halloween time, and I've got a 9-year-old daughter, so we take her out to this like local pumpkin festival. And I'm wearing like a Rowdy's polo or something because I've got a ton of stuff around. That's what I throw on most of the time.
Company man.
Yeah, yeah. I represent the brand because I live about 45 minutes to an hour south of the stadium. But there's a group down here. But some of the players live down here as well.
Okay.
And we're at this thing, and you know, it's all these like, you know, fair food stands and everything, and silly little you know, like pop up games or whatever. And my wife's like, that guy over there keeps staring at you. And I was like, oh, okay. And I turn around, and I'm looking, and it's Matt Pickens, the goalkeeper.
Yeah, okay.
Lives in the area. He's out there with his wife. And he just looks at me, and he, like, sees his shirt and just does, like, the half head, like, nod thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's up, Matt? How's it going?
Love it. I will say, I know in preseason you guys were very happy to see him. But I have to struggle not to call him Jody because inside jokes suck. But Fabrice Jean-Picault is ours, and God, I love him.
Isn't he fun to watch? He was here the year we won the title, and he never played much. We loved watching play, and then he went to Fort Lauderdale and tore up the league for a year.
Yeah, super limited interaction. He's not. He was never with Bethlehem this year, but I talked to him somehow. I don't remember. Just like really, really quickly, vaguely. But even like in that super limited time frame, and then just watching him as a player, and then hearing about kind of his other interviews in terms of someone, I forget who, and I feel terrible, but they did a really good interview with him about kind of his journey to get to the States to play soccer. That was fantastic. But like super nice dude, and a hell of a lot of fun to watch on the field.
Yeah, I got to talk to him for a few minutes after the preseason game down here, and it was nice because I was heading over. Bedoya was out there, and he wouldn't know me at all, except that we got into one big argument one time on Twitter
over you and everybody else in Alejandro, yeah, before you're getting into arguments on Twitter.
Over a non-call in a Premier League game. I just wanted to go up, and well, it was a couple years ago. It was Manchester United, Liverpool. Jamie Carragher kind of did some surgery on Nanny's knee, yes, like from the knee down there, and there was no red card on it. And he's screaming on Twitter about a red card, and I just happened to point out the fact that he was the player was able to get up, run the width of the field to the referee, and point at his leg several times, and then once the referee waved it off, then he collapsed in a heap. And I said, if you could do that, I don't know that it's going to be a card. And he disagreed with me. And I was just going to like mention it jokingly, but then I saw Fab instead, so I just talked to him.
Probably the better, not, you know, Ale, I haven't talked to him. Oddly enough, the one guy I've kind of been starstruck by on the team, and that's like including guys like Higuchi Onyewu and you know, Marisa Du. But yeah, that was the one guy where I was like, it's Alejandro Bedoya. He is a bit bullish on Twitter for sure.
He
gets one of those guys where you love it if he's on your team, but not so much if he's not. So
he gets into like Wijnaldum Lawless territory as far as getting into it with people. Sometimes
Taylor Twellman is that guy.
Oh God,
me,
yes.
Where I'm like, talking
now, I don't know. Does Bedoya go out and search for people mentioning his name without adding him? Because
so.
Twellman will do that at like halftime.
I don't think Bedoya actively goes out for people. I just think that people think it's fun to agitate him.
Oh yeah, because you know you
which
can get
just
to
me being an apologist, but you know.
Speaking of Gooch, how's he been doing?
Awkwardly well. They paired him with Jack Elliott, who I've had a crush on as far as a soccer player. I can't make that sound good now. Who I've had a crush on as far as his on-field playing ability. There we go. That works.
Right.
since I saw him play a couple games in Bethlehem, just because I don't understand how a guy that's that tall can be that good with the ball at his feet. Doesn't make any sense. So they paired a 6'7" Brit from London who went to the University of Kentucky with a guy who's not quite that tall, but just incredibly stocky, who, you know, hadn't played a game in like a year and a half. And they're now the number one center back pairing we have. I don't really get it, but it's worked out all right.
Interesting. Yeah, because when the Rowdies had their whole MLS to St. Pete kickoff thing, we're in this ballroom at this downtown hotel, and they're doing the whole press conference thing and men showing the renderings and everything. And we're just kind of standing there, you know, watching everything. And Gooch just walks right in front of me. And I'm like, okay, Gooch is here for some reason. And we asked some team sources, we're like, what's the deal here? And they're kind of like, oh yeah, he's going to have a role with the team. And we said playing, and they're like, well, maybe. And then like 2 minutes
so
later, someone
really
else came back
because
and
it was
like,
oh, you know, we brought him in. And this was a common theme this year was, oh, well, he's training with us, but he's not a trialist.
Yeah, we've had that one too. That's how Damian Lowe came in here. Damian Lowe, we were told, was rehabbing from an injury.
Oh, that's a fun one.
And then they happened to sign him. But yeah, like, so we got one answer that said, yeah, Gooch is going to be involved with the club somehow. And then like 5 minutes later, well, nothing's certain yet.
And then it was like, oh, he just scored against DC United.
And
cool,
then, yeah,
great.
Then he was gone. And we're like, oh, okay. But it was just one of those, like, didn't know the guy had any connections to the, you know, the St. Pete area. Like Tim Howard's mom lives here. Like that's someone
funny
you might see pop up every now and then.
Right.
But you know, just Gooch just walking by was like, oh
yeah, another okay, like super likable dude. I went to a practice that the Union did in the preseason. It was open. And it was like, oh man, like Higuchi Onyewu was here. And then it was like, oh my God, everyone loves this guy. Like the players were just like, oh, good. Like it felt like he'd been there for years.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? They're going to sign him just because of that. And they did.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well,
tangents for days, my friend.
I know.
It's almost like we like each other.
Well, we need to have something to talk about because we haven't had a game in like almost 3 weeks now. Literally our last show ended with us getting a chance to talk about a road victory. We were kind of like, if the storm blows us all away, at least that's our legacy. We went out on
the
highest note possible.
The rare road victory talk.
Yeah, so I'll take
it. Love it, love it.
But thanks for coming on. The audio has not crashed yet, so I think we're good.
Cool. I still can't prove that Dan is a real person because I've never heard him speak. For all I know, I've heard him, just not, you know, in real time, I guess is a good way to put that.
Yeah, I was trying to get him on for tonight. He was had other stuff going on and wasn't sure he can make it. But
I just you know, there's nothing that proves to me that it's not a burner account that you made.
Well, there used to be a video on YouTube of him twerking, and I was standing in the background. But now that's inconveniently disappeared because I like to throw that at him every now and then.
That's unfortunate. I wonder.
Well, there's a whole lot of unfortunate involved with all of that.
Fair.
I mean, it was
fair
enough. Unfortunate.
What a better way to stop an interview off of that,
right? All right. Well, thanks for coming on again. Promote yourself. Tell people where they can find you.
Oh God. At Villella, it's V as in Victor, I L L E L L A B S F C, like the team that I follow, Bethlehem Steel Football Club, on Twitter. Brotherlygame.com is where you can find all of the writing stuff. And if for whatever reason you want to hear my opinions more and elaborated on like the Eastern Conference of the league, or you just like the sound of my voice, or you need something to like maybe fill your commute or make you feel better about how you're doing in your life for an hour, at ECC Pod on Twitter. You can also find us on BGNFM. We're there as well as you guys. So yeah, that'll do it for my kind of self-deprecating plugs.
Nice. All right. Well, this was cool. The audio looks like it's all viable, which is
thank God.
A phrase
two
you don't get to
understand
say too much.
That, but we're both of them.
I'll save it. Let's do this again before the end of the season or the playoffs or
yeah,
some
right
other
on.
Time, because this is always fun. Yeah. Even when the audio doesn't work, it's still fun.
Fair enough.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and
yep,
we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Matt.
All right. See ya. All right, so thanks to Evan for taking some time out last night to join us. Cool guy, a lot of fun. Hope he beat his team really bad the next couple of games. Real quick before we go and wrap this one up, it's a final in Charleston. Charleston beats Charlotte 3-0. We'll leapfrog them in the standings, go into second place. Charlotte will drop to third. And in Louisville and Rochester still tied at 1 in the 71st minute. Would be nice for Louisville to get a win there. Let's keep Rochester with no points, please. Please, please, please. So what's up, Dan?
That was a really good interview. Bethlehem Steel, while they're kind of, you know, lower in the standings, they kind of scare me a lot.
Yeah, there was a little period for a little while that they were kind of nipping at our heels, either right behind us or, you know, a spot or two behind us. And I know because Evan would send me messages and he was like, look who's gaining, look who's coming. And I was like, shut up. Stop. I don't want to think about it.
This is the first I've looked at the standings. And I know we have one or two games in hand, but I didn't realize we were in fifth place.
Yeah, well, that like, week or 2 weeks off, I think, you know, a couple of the teams played games and they managed to hop over us. But if you look, we've now played the fewest games in the conference as opposed to the most, like it's been most of the season. So then again, we have to cram six games into, 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be fine. We're going to get a home playoff spot. Mark my words, mark the tape. We're getting a home playoff game and it's going to be fun.
Nice. All right. I like the confidence. So what's your prediction for this weekend? You want to put something out there?
No.
It's on grass. We established that, but it's away. So I'm still sticking with my, that's going to be the draw from that road trip.
Well, this weekend is Charlotte here with Shaggy.
Yeah. But I meant for the Bethlehem game.
The Bethlehem, I mean, I think we win both games.
And then, like you said, of fun for this weekend is Shaggy.
I can't wait for Mr. Bombastic, and I'll be ready
song.
For this.
I'm excited for that. That was the one question I wanted to ask Derek from Shamrock, and he got to it before I could even ask him. Since the concert was announced after he announced the whole bus thing, is the bus staying for Shaggy? Yes, the bus is staying for Shaggy. I still think I'm going somewhere out and around downtown St. Pete with Suit All afterwards, so I don't know if I'll be riding the bus back, but I will definitely be riding the bus up there.
Obviously, I'm not driving to Sarasota to drive to St. Pete to drive to Sarasota to come back.
You have to drive down to Cape Coral to pick up Pork Rind and Company, bring them to Sarasota, and then you you have ways of finding your ways home after games. I'm not worried about that.
Whether it's my home or somebody else's.
Yeah.
Question.
It'll all work out. It always does. You youngins.
I'll be behaving. I think a certain roommate is coming to see Shaggy, so I have to be responsible.
You're bringing the ferret?
Yep.
Rose is a big Shaggy fan.
Her favorite song was It Wasn't Me, because, you know, the things that happen on the sofa are just inappropriate.
All right, well, we're already at 10 minutes past 9. We're kind of gone over our usual time, but it was worth it for to get Evan on. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. We'll see everybody at the stadium on Saturday. I'll see people on the bus. I'll be at Shamrock starting around 12:30 this weekend. And it's going to be a fun weekend. I'm looking forward to being back at Al Lang and seeing everybody. And let's go win. Charlotte just tweeted out that they're going to be in us this weekend. So let's kick them out. Also,
let's do it.
Yeah, because, now with that loss tonight, Charlotte did not clinch a playoff spot. They could with a win over us on Saturday. I don't want that happening on our field.
No.
All right. We'll be back next week. Hopefully talking about two wins, since the Bethlehem game will be, the midweek game will be over, since it's a 3 o'clock kickoff. And we'll be then looking ahead to Bethlehem again next Saturday afterwards here at Allen. So that's 2 weeks in a row, two weekends in a row with the home game. That'll be fun. All right.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you guys later. This has been the Unused Substitutes, and see ya.
Bye.
The radical there, the radical there, they kick the wall around.